Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Previously on Gresh and Keefe.
Do they know you?
Hey, Naruto.
He goes running it like this. Yeah. Before he can even order, they're just handing him this big sundae.
Honey, do you think you can go in this time?
This is Gresh and Keefe.
Everybody healthy and strong in the big leagues.
Healthy and happy.
Going the other way, base hit by Bogarts. Digging around third and scoring is Mullins. And the American League has won their eighth straight.
Andy Gresh.
Nobody says anything publicly because they've won so many championships. When I did that article, a lot of the players thanked me for making it public on how bad they treat guys.
Yeah.
Rich Keith.
Xander, Frank Thomas here.
Big Hurt.
And I want to say this, you're the most underrated superstar in baseball. Have you heard that from anybody else?
Boom song.
Gresh and Keith starts right now.
Everybody loves the booty.
Everybody gaggles.
On WEEI.
And I don't know if everybody watched the All-Star game last night. I know early on I was in.
I was in
for Ohtani on the mound. And then once he had his inning and at bat, I was just like, okay, it's on in the background. And it is what it is. But the American League wins once again.
Dominant.
Thankfully, there is no stupid home field advantage tied into it. So, really, it was a great exhibition for the showcase of Major League Baseball.
It was. And for the most part, it was as good as you could probably get, right?
I agree.
Shohei Ohtani starts. Shohei Ohtani is the leadoff guy. Vladimir Guerrero smashes one into the seats. Couple of home runs. Still a relatively low-scoring game. Hit the under, if you were interested in that part of the All-Star game.
A lot of people had NL and the over last night. There
so
were a lot of bettors bemoaning that on Twitter.
But you got to see the showcase of some of the stars of the game. And I know yesterday we kind of were talking about how great it was in the 99 All-Star game versus this All-Star game. But the truth is, for the kids, which the whole All-Star game really is for, and I know that's also a problem that baseball has, is trying to appeal to the young kids.
That's right.
But you showcase Shohei Ohtani, Fernando Tatis Jr., Vladimir Guerrero Jr., mix in a few other guys, probably as good of a night as you're going to have, right? It wasn't must-see TV, but I think they did a pretty good job with it.
The game flowed. It went well. Pretty much everybody got in on the whole. I know that there's always a guy or two that gets left behind in these All-Star games.
But all the Sox were in.
That's right.
If you're worried about all five Red Sox, they were all in. And they really, I know Martinez struck out twice, but all four of them, the other four guys all did something.
That's right.
Yeah.
Including Xander Bogaerts, who put the American League up 4-0.
They're seasoned, and they're putting it together in one half.
How about that? Going the other way, base hit by Bogaerts. Digging around third and scoring is Mullins. And it's two runs here in the fifth inning and a 4-0 American League lead.
There you go. Salted it away, and Joe Buck on the call on Fox right there. So,
by the way. By the way, so Joe Buck, I've never liked Joe Buck, right? I just don't like Joe Buck. And it dates back to the Randy Moss thing. I was watching that game live when Randy Moss fake mooned the crowd in Green Bay, and Joe Buck lost his mind. It was apologizing to viewers and how obscene it was. You would have thought he really pulled his pants down and took a two on the 50. That's
you're
what you would have thought happened. He didn't. He fake mooned. You find out later that the Packers fans always moon the opposing team.
Just in Buffalo.
Well, yeah, it was a little hair. Here you go. And it was a fake mooning, and Joe Buck reacted to it like it was the worst thing ever shown on a football game. And he does so many games. I just don't personally like him. And it's not the, he doesn't like my team. That's what the argument you get a lot of people.
All the time.
I don't care about that. I don't think that's even the case. I just personally don't like Joe Buck. And then They're miking up the players yesterday, which is a great idea. Mic up as many players as you want. Guys in the field, guys at the plate, whatever you want, mic them up. But he mics up Xander Bogaerts, and this poor guy is trying to hit. And it's just, this is what it sounds like. It's unbelievable to me.
What's coming, Xander? What's coming? Oh, he got you. Not the fastball. That was filthy.
He laughed at Xander Bogaerts.
Mm-hmm.
He laughed at him. Oh, ha, ha, ha. Oh, ha, ha, ha.
You got
oh, he didn't. You said fastball. It was a slider. By the one of the best pitchers in all baseball struck you out. I'm going to laugh at you. At that point, I'm like, I'm not doing any more mic'd up stuff with Joe Buck. I'm not having a conversation with Joe Buck when I'm up at the plate. They needed somebody else in the booth. They needed somebody way more personable, somebody that has a connection with the players. Because even Smoltz doesn't have it. Smoltz is awkward as hell talking to the guys.
Agreed.
And Joe Buck just, I mean, oh, what's it going to be, Xander? What's it going to be, Xander? Oh, slider, in your face, in your face. Like, that was awful. And that was the first inning. And you're like, oh, my God, nine more innings of Joe Buck interviewing players. So great idea on the one hand, but actually the execution of it was really poor. And I think that's squarely on Buck because some of these players have more personality than others, right? Like Xander Bogaerts is not exactly electric.
Correct.
Did you see the Ken Rosenthal thing at the beginning of the game?
I did.
The first guy they talked to is Xander Bogaerts. Like, Xander, what's it feel like? He's like, it's fine.
Yeah, right.
It's fine. It's fine.
When my bonus check clears, I'll be happier.
So, like, that is a problem. There's not a lot of electric guys, but I really think the Joe Buck angle of it kind of killed me. Like,
yeah,
it was bad, wasn't it?
At Keefe21 on Twitter last night, mics on players is a great idea, but having to talk to Joe Buck makes it the worst idea.
It was the worst idea. There's got to be somebody else, because this seems like, say, like, TNT did the game. Say they did, like, a basketball game. And I know it's harder to mic up basketball players. But if they did it and you had Barkley and Shaq kind of interacting with the guys, or even, like, what we've seen with the golf.
Right.
With Brady and Rodgers or Brady and Manning, like, that kind of thing. If there's a good conversation back and forth, I think it could really add to the broadcast. But when it's so stuffy, and how about there was the Vlad Guerrero smacks a homer, and Joe Buck's talking to him, or he's talking to Tatis, right? Tatis.
Oh yeah, Tatis's reaction on the homer,
which was great. The reaction was great,
awesome.
But then Joe Buck's like, "Hey, say something to him. Say something as he's going around the base. Say something to him. Say something to him." And then he says something to him in Spanish, which is awesome. You're like, take that, Buck. Like, oh, whatever.
That was only to piss off Stephen A. Smith.
This won't stand. Where are the white American players?
You give a brief message to our Spanish-speaking listeners.
So, I don't know. Like, I think, thanks, Joe. I think they dropped the ball on some of this stuff.
You know who they need?
Who?
Kevin Millar would be the guy to put in there who would be able to interact with those cats.
I agree.
And talk to them in a way that would actually draw something out of them. And you mentioned a personality guy. He's on that Pat McAfee level in terms of personality and being able to talk to the players the way they would want to be talked
to. Millar, Dallas Braden, who we've talked to.
One of those guys,
like guys like that who didn't play that long ago. Like, Smoltz is too far away. Like,
I agree.
They're talking about, like, Smoltz is like, yeah, I remember facing Vlad's dad and Tatis's dad. You're like, yep, that's sort of the idea. But what about some of these younger guys?
Time for money.
Money!
Another typical cash giveaway. Here's this hour's code word on WEEI.
This hour's code word is line, L-I-N-E. Text line to 72881 now for your chance to win $1,000 at our national cash contest. Three more chances coming up during today's edition of Gresh and Keefe here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com, and the Odyssey app. The three T's up and running. It's our Rise of the Machines. Watch us on Twitch, WEEI.com/watch. Shime is manning the Twitch chat. You can tweet at us at Gresh Keefe or text 37937. You'd mentioned the mic'd up element of last night and the fact that Joe Buck is the guy trying to lead through. And I'm with you in terms of Smoltz in that he is an extra generation removed.
Yeah.
But he's also a Hall of Famer, and everybody respects the hell out of that guy.
Yeah.
But he's not Mr. Personality.
No, he's not
going to draw it out of it's guys the way some of the other dudes would.
If they were doing a football broadcast, it's almost the difference between having, and I know Smoltz isn't this old, but Phil Sims versus Tony Romo.
Right.
Like, Romo talking to some of the players now, I think, will come across just different than Smoltz. Or have a three-man booth. Have somebody else in there that maybe you can get Smoltz's personality out more.
They needed a Siragusa type on the field. Like, if you would have had a Kevin Millar, say, as the other guy, or someone of personality,
right,
who is that other guy who could almost be like standing beside the dugout, and not that you want the runner on second looking at the guy in the dugout while he's talking to him. However, it's an exhibition game. Who cares?
Something different.
They could have done it in a different way to where it wasn't Joe Buck needling players for entertainment.
That's what I think their problem was, because the guys that they had just didn't really fit. Like, they had Tom Verducci on the field at the beginning of the game talking to Nolan Arenado, and it was just very kind of stiff, right? You're like, hey, Nolan, you're back in Denver. Like, what do you think? And then, like, the Rosenthal stuff, also, it's kind of stiff. Like, he's a good information guy. Like, all those guys are good individually at certain things.
They're good in their roles.
Right, but the role of getting a little bit more personality out of the players, which this should really showcase, this is what you should try to do.
Right.
Forget, you know, home field advantage and all that stuff. It's, here are all the best players, here are all the best young players. Think about how many first-time All-Stars they were talking about. Let's meet these guys. Because on the East Coast, we don't see a ton of Padres, Giants, Dodgers. And those are three great teams with a lot of great players. Let's talk to them a little bit. Let's see something. And they talk to him, and he just comes across as, it's awkward. It's kind of awkward. I don't know. I thought most of the interviews were just kind of more cringe than they were interesting.
I know we're going to get to Rob Manfred in a little bit, but when Rob Manfred gave Vlad Guerrero Jr. the bat for the MVP, and then he did the interview with an interpreter, it just tickled me.
Stephen A. lost his mind.
Oh, by the way, Vlad Guerrero, I do believe, leading vote getter.
Yes.
So,
oh, the
Stephen
most popular
A.
guys right, in the game. Yeah.
Him speaking Spanish really hurt his popularity in terms of being voted into the All-Star game. I mean, just great.
Well, like, three guys, and I believe English would be the second, or in Otani's case, maybe the third or fourth language that he knows.
Mm-hmm.
But the three real faces of baseball right now are Shohei Ohtani, Fernando Tatis, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Hell no.
And Stephen A. is pissed. Stephen A. is rolling over in his grave right now. He's like, where's Mike Trout and Bryce Harper? And that is it. And Mike Greenwell.
I did not say that.
And Tom Bernanski and Wade Boggs. These are the guys we can actually promote here in America.
But what if LeBron James were white?
Well, good question.
Well,
it is what if Wednesday.
I'm just going to say.
Get to that.
We got a good one in the 1 o'clock hour
but
for
think
you.
About those three guys, though. Vlad Guerrero is chasing a triple crown. Fernando Tatis is chasing a 40-40 season. He currently leads the National League in dingers and stolen bases. And then Shohei Ohtani is an all-star pitcher and hitter. Like, if you have one of those three things in a year, and obviously Ohtani, like, we haven't seen that in forever, but even if you have a 40-40 guy or a triple crown guy, like, that's good. But in this season, you have all three of those things in play, which is pretty fun. But again, I don't know if it's the Stephen A. thing that they don't all speak perfect English or what it is. And they're all young, too. Like, that is a good sign
for
maybe the future baseball.
I was
right?
just going to say that when you mentioned those three players, and Ohtani is a little older. He's towards the back end of his 20s.
Right.
But Tatis Jr. and Vlad Guerrero Jr., first of all, when you put Jr. beside a name that people automatically recognize, it gets the olds in it, like me. I'll throw myself in that category. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking to get your 20-year-olds, those are the guys that really have to carry the torch. And the fact that they're all-stars so young, you know, like with Vlad Guerrero, there's going to be very much well, he's Vladdy and he takes big daddy hacks, so I'm going to vote him, you know?
Yeah.
And with Tatis, he is such a unique guy in terms of his size, the position that he plays. I mean, that guy is going to be a big-time player for a solid decade in baseball. And to your point, if you're rooting for the next generation, all of it is there in terms of those two guys to be the foundation in each league and then kind of build it out in terms of hopefully attracting those younger fans.
Now, do you think, and apparently Tatis gets it too, as far as like kids
I
that
mentioned
like
the
him.
Thing,
yeah.
A kid with a heart transplant, and he's
right
the
there.
Only thing he didn't check off was picture with Fernando Tatis. Tatis went over, signed the thing, took the picture with the kid, gave him a jersey. He's aware
gets
of
it.
His presence.
And Freddie Freeman was talking about how his kid was just blown away by meeting Fernando Tatis, right? His dad's Freddie Freeman, for God's sakes, but it's like Fernando Tatis gotta meet Fernando Tatis,
right.
Like that. So that part of it's pretty cool. Do you think it matters at all, though, that the three most interesting players in baseball play for the Padres, Blue Jays, and Angels?
Believe it or not, I think it's a great thing for baseball. Yeah, because look, in New York, baseball will never die. Like, in the times that I would do stuff on the Fan, you could be at 2 a.m.
Yeah,
you know,
people want to talk Yankees.
Oh,
Mets.
My God. Yeah. They're into it. So I think in that market, I don't think Cub fans are ever going to wane. I think in Philly, they love to just hate the team. So therefore, right?
That's a good point.
You know,
yeah.
And here, we're in a bit of a transition phase, I think, in terms of Red Sox fandom and sort of where it's going. So I think the Northeast cities and some of traditional baseball cities can take care of themselves.
Yeah.
And it's great to have, you know, having Vlad Guerrero and the ties to Canada and having his son play up there.
It is kind of funny.
I think it, yeah. Because look, if you're MLB, you don't want Canada to not pay attention to baseball. Hell, they were talking about maybe getting back into Montreal again. Mm. And I think for San Diego, they're a team on the rise. They just got, I don't think that team built that stadium out there. So I think the city built them the stadium or some, you know, however that all worked out. It worked out in their favor. And to have a guy there on the West Coast is huge. I think the Dodgers, you know, like they're kind of in and out. And
they're spending a lot of money, though. I mean, and they have stars, too. I just think these are the
three
most important
players. You need West Coast stars. That, I guess, is my point. Because the East Coast will take care of itself. But if you have Tatis and Ohtani and Trout on the West Coast, it also kind of expands the brand that way as
My only concern is if they miss the playoffs routinely. Right. And the Padres are pretty good. The Blue Jays seem like they're at least going to be trying to in the mix. But that's the big knock on Mike Trout. Not only does Mike Trout play for the Angels, so we don't see him a lot, or you got to stay up late or whatever.
Right.
But they never make the playoffs. So you're kind of wasting away Trout and Ohtani. Because come playoff time, all right, you're staying up late. You have a series. You're going to see all these teams. And if those guys aren't there, then what a waste. Like, if all three of those guys miss the playoffs, it just takes out such a blow. Because think about all the other sports. The best players in basketball always make the playoffs. The best players in football always make the playoffs. Now, you'll have the exceptions of, you know, Calvin Johnson or Barry Sanders. But for the most part.
Zion,
now. But give him time. You know, Zion will eventually
get in.
And,
so people are willing to be patient.
But I just think, you know, with Trout, Ohtani, Tatis, Guerrero, like those guys need to play games that matter.
I guess a part of the reason that I'm drawn to Tatis is because you could see that he has star written all over him because of his personality. Mm-hmm. Like Vlad Jr. is just going to be a bigger version of his dad. And for those of us,
base version of
his
father.
And you and I are of the generation who really got to see peak Vlad Guerrero. Mm-hmm. Like the gun the guy had on him.
Awesome.
It was him and Ichiro in right field who were just gunning people down, and it was something to see. So I do think Vlad, like, he's just going to hit bombs, and people love guys who hit home runs naturally. Tatis, though, has everything you want in a big-time superstar.
Power, speed, and play short.
And personality. Like, that's the big thing, to the point of what we were just talking about. Like, that guy mic'd up should have been really good. Instead, what we got was a little bit of an audio guy with Fox who was asleep at the wheel when it came to the ninth inning, and Liam Hendricks is on to close the game out, and he didn't think his mic was on. It was pretty much on the whole time. And so basically, if you're watching last night, you might have heard something like this.
God damn, finish it.
They left it on, and the guy's like out there dog cussing himself. It was great.
Like, the All-Star game, Liam, relax.
But believe it or not,
a little bit.
That made it more awesome. It really did. Like hearing that guy's name. I completely am vibing with you on Joe Buck, and that was clunky. It's a good idea, but you got to have somebody else kind of leading the way on that.
That is a disgusting act by Randy Moss.
But leaving these guys mic'd up was like, I'd watch the game on HBO. If you gave me an alternate feed that I could hear all the F words, I would love to hear what they're saying.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I also think there should be certain guys that are mic'd up, certain guys that aren't. Like, I love Xander Bogaerts. I love him.
No.
You don't need to mic him up.
Nope.
You don't need to mic up the guy. He does not have a ton to say. He's a great player. Some guys are just great players. Some are also great personalities. And so they tried it with Bogaerts. They did the pregame interview. They had him up at the plate, like all that. Nope. Maybe move it on to some other guys, like Fernando Tatis, maybe even all game, just kind of in and out with him.
That
like,
would have been out with him, see what he's awesome. Going on. To hear the conversations like at second base and things like that, it would have been great. And I also think that, like, I get the whole we want to try to present it live. But it really is okay if it's 30 seconds behind and you're still giving me good stuff.
Right.
Because I think there is the thought in that whole world that, well, it's got to be live. It's got to be live. Yeah, but there's a bunch of stuff in there that you could filter out. And right. It's not even as much as we joked about Liam Hendricks dropping an F-bomb. That is appealing to some people. Mm-hmm. But if there's a good conversation at second base and you bring it to me a minute later, I'm still going to be fulfilled as someone watching the game.
But you could also, I mean, and this probably takes a lot, and I don't know how many guys they want to mic up, but you could almost have just about everybody mic'd up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, say a ball gets hit in the gap, you turn on the center fielder and the left fielder's mics, and now they're communicating with each other, and you can hear that live.
That's
it doesn't
right.
have to be like this ongoing interview with a stiff in the booth.
I agree. Dude,
like that part kind of took some of it out.
Yeah, and you're right. You're not turning to Smoltz to get anything there. So
no,
you need that third person. And you're almost doing it with a wink and a nod, and you're saying,
yeah.
Hey, waka waka, here's our personality guy.
Fine. But right. Like lean into it. And that's what baseball needs. They need a few more guys like that. There is an opening there. There's not a lot of...
There is no question. No. There is an opening there, and there has been in baseball for a long period of time. Yeah. So, a successful home run derby, a successful All-Star game last night.
Pretty good.
And now the game of baseball catches their collective breath. And normally it's Friday you get the first game back, but with the Red Sox and the Yankees, it is tomorrow night
mm-hmm.
that they're going to play game one of the second half of the season. You'll be able to hear the game right here on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network and on the Odyssey app here in the city of Boston. So really no rest for the Red Sox, those five guys that got in. Luckily, J.D. Martinez had a pretty easy night, couple of strikeouts. All right, see you later, mm-hmm. kid. Mm-hmm. Get the bat and saddle up again on Thursday. And I thought Eovaldi looked good, and now we're on to a second half that we didn't see coming, friend.
No, we didn't. Imagine opening up the second half against the Yankees with an 8-game lead over New
unbelievable.
York.
Unbelievable.
8 games.
You would have figured it would have been the other way,
sure.
given the hype and the fact that the Yankees were supposed to hit. And
yeah.
Now what I'm hoping today is that in Colorado, so right now, what is it, about 8:23 their time?
Yep.
I'm hoping that there is some clandestine meetings going on in some diner near the stadium, or that, you know, there's a couple of people huddled in a Starbucks that are trying to,
because
now it's trade deadline time.
Let's
now
go.
We're downhill.
Whit Merrifield, Anthony Rizzo. Who are you going to get?
Here we go.
Let's
right?
go.
Craig Kimbrell, Anthony Rizzo.
Mm-hmm.
Whom else?
Well, I think Chris Bryant could probably get traded.
It's funny.
Not that he would come here, but that's
no, but
the guy.
That was like talked about a lot last night, which I was a little surprised because I thought, okay, you know, guys in the final
so they're
deal.
They're just getting rid of everybody.
But
now?
That's the thing. Are the Cubs
just
about
done?
To like start to tear it down? Well, Theo's not there anymore. Now
no.
he's apparently telling
no.
Rob Manfred all the wrong things to do with Major League Baseball.
True.
Which
but
we
Chris
will get
Bryant's
to.
Chris Bryant's 29. Like, I don't, I mean, I guess let's get a haul for him.
Doesn't
maybe,
it
but.
Feel like he was one of the best players in baseball not too long ago?
Well, it's actually funny you say that, because a couple years ago when Mookie Betts went to arbitration, and there the story came out that Mookie Betts and his agent were asking for, you know, this, like something that Chris Bryant was getting, or and the Red Sox put together like a Chris Bryant highlight tape, and they're like, you're not Chris Bryant. And then they told Mookie Betts. Like, okay, all right, thanks.
And they were right.
In a way, as it turns out.
Because Mookie got almost $300 million, and Chris Bryant has been paid well, no question,
yep.
But he ain't no Mookie Betts. We've got some Team USA basketball to get to. Game 4 of the NBA Finals is tonight. We will get to Rob Manfred. We're also going to get to Cassius Marsh as well, unfortunately.
Oh,
we got your midweek clubhouse report with Will Fleming. Emmy noms are out. I know that...
Yeah, some surprise Emmy noms for all the TV stuff, and I've watched a lot of TV over the last year.
I would think
lots
a lot of people
of
have. This
yes,
will be the most educated Emmy discussion
yeah.
that
mm-hmm.
maybe anyone would ever have just
uh-huh.
because we've been sitting around watching TV forever. The UFC 264 numbers are in, and Khabib Nurmagomedov way wrong on what the UFC is going to do with Conor McGregor. Again, a lot of a Rob Manfred discussion. And in the 1 o'clock hour, it is our What If Wednesday, and it is tied into the Patriots and the NFL. So we will get to that in the 1 o'clock hour. Lots to get to with you. 617-779-7937. At 1025, let's trend. Here is Shime.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game.
That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Did you know you can watch Gresh and Keefe? Just go to WEEI.com/watch or twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
Levine gets around Brusino and throws it.
Now this is what the folks were expecting starting on Saturday. It took until Tuesday, but USA is victorious with the 108-80 triumph.
So Team USA finally won an exhibition game. We've been talking about how this collection of NBA players, the first two times out, have kind of soiled themselves a little bit out there in Vegas. 1034, Gresh and Keefe here with you on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com, and the Odyssey app. Well, I guess they get off the schneid. However, Jason Tatum, it was described that he sat this one out.
Oh, my God.
Whatever that, we're doing load management in Olympic prelims.
I guess his knee was acting up.
Apparently so. He was, his knee was barking.
So Tatum comes out of the starting lineup and they win by 28.
I know.
That's basically, that's my takeaway from it.
I know, and I didn't want to go there, and I was trying to think, is that really the way it went? And it was like, it's kind of the way it went.
Because you look at the three teams that they played, Nigeria is the worst. And then Australia and Argentina, I think, are probably somewhat similar. Australia has a bunch of NBA guys. Argentina used to be really good, but you can tell their roster isn't what it used to be.
Luis Scola is the guy that jumps out.
41-year-old Luis Scola went out there and led them in scoring. But they dominated. Like, that's what they should be. And I know Popovich says there are no blowouts. Popovich, I don't blow teams out. It's international play. You went by 28. What was that?
Not a blowout.
You couldn't do that to the other two teams because all these games are close, and then you smoke Argentina. So I really don't know what to make out of Team USA going in. I think they play way too individual. I think they expect to win. Also, the rules, there are some slight different rules, but the other key thing about it is the officiating is horrible. Mm-hmm. Like, the officiating is always bad.
So just like the NBA.
And the NBA, but different bad. Like, the NBA guys, the superstars know, I'll just kind of draw a foul here. Whereas in an international play, they're like, nope, we're not going to call that.
It's like, much more physical international play.
Yeah, a guy can get hammered, right? A guy can get absolutely hacked, whereas if you breathe on LeBron or you breathe on James Harden, free throws. So it's a little bit different. They have to get used to that. But also, it's just a collection of guys who have never played together. Like, they're way more talented. Everybody knows they're way more talented,
but they have they just showed up and like, all right, play. Whereas these other countries, even with the NBA guys, that's sort of been a group for a long time. It's not like Argentina has a million players to choose from. They whittle it down. Like, these are their best guys. Every tournament they go to, it's pretty much this group of guys. So they've actually played together before. Whereas the U.S., like, no. They just showed up last week and had a couple of scrimmages.
Well, I think what it also does is it highlights where the NBA game has changed the game of basketball.
Oh, yeah.
In that, and I will always, you know, I see my kids out on the basketball court in the backyard doing dribble through the leg and let's fade away and shoot
Curry.
The three, right?
Curry.
Exactly. That's what everybody wants to do.
That's it.
And then you get into team competition like this and you realize that that crap doesn't fly, even if you are talented, because to your point, the game is different. The lane is wider. There's no 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You want to try to spread teams out a little bit. But I think the big thing that stands out is it is much more physical.
Right.
And there is a part of me that wonders, maybe it's hope.
Hope.
Hope. Hoping that this experience makes Jason Tatum a tougher basketball player for being forced to drive. You spread it out and get Kevin Love on the floor. You think you can take the guy to the rack. Okay, guess what?
Yeah.
You're really going to get fouled. So
right.
Are you committed to going to the rim, or are you going to shoot a pull-up 12-footer because you don't want to get hit?
See, that's your hope. My fear is that these guys say, all right, it's just not worth it in there. We'll just launch threes. And there'll be games that they win because
right.
They're, you know, they have enough good shooters, especially when Booker joins them. But when they don't, they're going to be like that team in the college tournament that only wins if they hit threes and they lose if they don't. So that is a little concerning. I know yesterday we said we don't love their chances right now, even though they're the overwhelming Vegas favorite to win the gold. I wouldn't feel very confident putting any money on them to win the gold. It feels like
you.
A team that could come up short.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think it is very much open for not only interpretation in terms of who's going to win, but you can't trust this team. And that has nothing to do with the individual talent. It's got everything to do with their collective mm-hmm. ability to come together. You can follow us on Twitter at Gresh Keith. That's how you get a hold of the show, at Keith21, at The Real Gresh, G-R-E-S-H. Do you worry that this Team USA experience, if it goes a little sideways, does that hurt any recruiting efforts by either Ime Udoka covertly or Jason Tatum openly? Because I started like, with Bradley Beal, I'm not worried about that. But Kevin Durant was giving Jason Tatum flowers. And in our dream world, in a couple of years, Kevin Durant might be like, nah, I got to get the hell out of Brooklyn. Where do I want to end my career? Maybe it could be an opportunity there. There's the Damian Lillard piece of all this. But if this thing goes off the exit ramp quick, does all of the recruiting go away because they're all betwixt and between because the team stinks?
So I think that the two guys that are probably at the center of this, or the two guys that would look the worst if they don't win gold, in my opinion, would be Kevin Durant and Greg Popovich. So mm-hmm. the head coach and the best player.
Okay.
Whereas Ime Udoka, I think still there could be some good things to come out of it. Where, you know, they were horrible in that World Cup team a couple of years ago. But one of the things that came out of it was Tatum and Brown got to know Ime Udoka and even Smart, and they liked him. So there's still the chance that even if, you know, Popovich, they don't like the message he's sending or whatever, they already have their idea on Popovich. But some of these guys, their first opportunity to work with Udoka, they might come away thinking, like Bam Adebayo in a year, being like, oh, I remember, I like that guy a lot. So I think there's still the ability for him to recruit guys or at least establish a relationship there. And the same thing with Tatum. Like, even if the team goes sideways, well, maybe he and, you know, pick a player. Maybe he – well, we already know he and Beal love each other, but maybe he and Booker or he and Bam Adebayo, they realize that, all right, I know the team didn't work out, but I like playing with this one guy. Maybe I don't like playing with these five guys, but I like playing with this one
guy. See, and I guess I was kind of on the other end of it. If you're Damian Lillard and you get around Jason Tatum, do you go,
maybe
not what I thought?
Maybe.
That's what I'm worried about in terms of if they don't have success. Not that it's necessarily going to get pinned on one guy or another, but there are two dudes in terms of Lillard and Beal that we're looking at and saying, I don't want to give those guys any reason to look at Jason Tatum crossways and think, okay, he's not going to be what Kevin Durant said he is going to be.
Yeah, it's a possibility. Like, that's the one thing. Like, I don't think you could break the Tatum and Beal bond.
I would agree.
Even if they fall apart. We also found out, you know, I'm sure guys like Jeff Goodman knew this, but Tatum and Bam Adebayo have known each other since middle school. So maybe that bond you can't break. But you're right. Some of these other guys like Lillard, who you're thinking, all right, well, maybe there'll be a relationship forming. Well, if they just suck on the court, they get embarrassed, they lose in the quarterfinals. And like,
turmoil,
oh, yeah.
Whatever, right?
And then maybe Lillard says, you know what, I'm actually better off with McCollum and Norm Powell, better than I thought I was.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Well, that was always the risk. Everybody's like, Tatum could get recruited away. It's like, all right, well, he could also recruit guys here. Like, it's a give and a take, no matter how you look at it.
I completely agree. And Lillard would be the fish that you want. I mean, that would be the guy that would give this
team.
He's
the best player not named Durant on the team.
Very fair. Yeah. No doubt. Yeah. And speaking of good players, I know that at WEEI.com now, we have one of those who would say no to stories.
Classic.
And as soon as you say, who would say no to this trade for Ben Simmons? I would automatically say yes. I automatically say no because it's Ben Simmons. But I know the Shams Charania of The Athletic had a little story yesterday that the talks have begun. And apparently Philly is talking to some teams.
I thought Doc said he was going to fix them.
Doc
Rivers has a plan.
Well,
he says he has a plan. I believe him.
Doc has to have a plan.
Yeah.
But the GM does too.
Yeah, right.
So did Rich Paul. Yeah, there's that piece of it. And is this the real first domino to fall in terms of what will be a very busy offseason? Or is this a trade that was fait accompli? We know we got to get rid of the guy in Philly, and it's only a matter of where we're going to send him, not if we're going to send him away.
Yeah, I really thought that when the Sixers series ended, I'm like, yeah, he's gone. They can't bring him back. Because even though they're young, there had been talks a long time about Simmons and Embiid. Can those be your two best guys? And they finally tweaked the roster for him this year, so they had a different supporting cast this year, and still the end result was bad, and Simmons regressed. He got worse. And there have been guys like Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer have done a good job pointing out that Ben Simmons' offensive game hasn't advanced at all.
At all.
This play, maybe even a little bit worse. Like, I mean, this was so glaring how afraid he was to shoot and how he wouldn't go to the free throw line. And when he did, he was atrocious. But the rest of his offensive game from his rookie year to now is the same.
You're welcome, Kevin O'Connor.
Where all these other guys have changed. And other guys who couldn't shoot, like Tony Parker couldn't shoot, and then he kind of could. Rajon Rondo couldn't shoot, and then he at least could enough. And whereas Ben Simmons just hasn't. But he's so weird in the sense that he's elite at other things. He's an elite defensive player. He's an elite passer. He's a guy that you want. But shooting the ball, which is important, he's horrible at it. So I think they need to trade him, and it's a matter of, can you get 75 cents on the dollar, or do you have to settle for 50 cents on the dollar?
It feels somewhere in between there, that 50 to 75 on the dollar. One other thing about Ben Simmons to let you know about the work ethic or lack thereof, look at what Jason Tatum looked like when he came into the NBA to now.
Right.
His body has completely changed. He's got delts now.
Well, he also dedicated himself to shooting, because that's another guy who at Duke, he wasn't a great three-point shooter.
Nope.
That's with the college line. And then he shows up his rookie year, and he's an assassin from out there.
His shooting is better, and he's worked on his body.
Right.
Ben Simmons' shooting has gotten worse, and he doesn't really look any different than he did when he first came into the league.
Right.
So it kind of tells you the investment Ben Simmons has not made into his game. And that's why the guy's going to get traded. I think it's just a matter of time before it happens.
Yeah.
But what will the fallout be thereafter? Because then the carousel starts to sort of spin a little bit. And now we get the real offseason, because the draft is the draft, and it's going to be okay. And there's a couple of guys, and Detroit will get all hyped up for Cade Cunningham, and that's about it.
And they'll be back in the lottery next year.
It's really going to be where are the new faces going to end up.
Well, because Simmons' contract is so big, so now you take him away. Is Philly able to somehow get another star in, whether it's a two or a three-team trade? Are they going to be a top four team in the East again next year, or do they kind of reset the books a little bit, try to get into free agency the next year?
Right.
Like there's
mid-level
a lot of
exceptions might become a bigger thing there, especially with the good doctor to be able to recruit some guys.
And you know the Lakers are going to take one more swing at it. Right?
Oh,
the Lakers know, all right, LeBron coming back 37 next year. That's how old he'll be. Anthony Davis is always hurt. There's rumors about them trying to get DeRozan or something. They're going to try to take one more crack at it.
Chris Paul will sign there. And
maybe
make everybody.
Chris Paul,
make everybody.
I believe he has a player option, right?
That's right.
So there's a handful of guys with the player options who we don't think are going to leave teams like Kawhi Leonard and Chris Paul, but they could.
That's right.
You never know.
And that could end up opening that door. You're exactly right. Game 4 of the NBA Finals is tonight. Are we set for a great one, or is this thing all but over? That's next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Wherever you're working from, Gresh and Keefe go where you do.
Smacking guys in the old yam bag.
Download the Odyssey app or ask your smart speaker to play WEEI.
I'm just here not to get fined. I'm joking. No, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun. You know, playing an NBA Finals game in front of the fans that have supported us all year long. And it's been 50 years since we've played one here in Milwaukee. For sure, it's going to be exciting.
That is Giannis Antetokounmpo. I wonder if he only spoke Greek, if Stephen A. would have hammered Giannis
for
being able to speak English the way that Stephen A. would want him to.
Right, he wouldn't be the leading vote getter in the All-Star game.
That's right, he wouldn't be popular.
People wouldn't like him.
He never would have been voted MVP.
Right. Yeah, right. There's not a lot of it because that's the one great thing, Stephen A., about the NBA is that it's all Americans. There's not a single, like half the all NBA team is from around the world. Like you go through it, like Doncic and Embiid and Giannis, like it's a million guys from everywhere else.
Nikola Jokic got knocked out of the playoffs the next day. He's riding a donkey in the middle of, you know,
the MVP of the
God
league.
God knows where you're right, exactly.
I've been really, gotta love this American ride. I've been really impressed, though, with Giannis. I have.
Really?
Yes, I have.
In what way?
I didn't know if he had this kind of level in the playoffs. Because we had seen it for years where
I'm with you
MVP,
on this.
Regular season guy. Think about it. He never even played in the finals, let alone won it. Now, he may still not win it, but the last two games, he's been the best player on the floor.
He was great.
He's been dominant. Now, one of those was in a loss, but the other one was in an impressive must-win type of situation. He actually kind of figured out his free throws a little bit. But I was wondering, like, for a guy of this skill set, which we were talking about Ben Simmons earlier, kind of a unique skill set. You look at the guys who have won titles recently, and it's your Durant, Kawhi Leonard, LeBron. Like that kind of guy. Like they can hit the three if they need to. They can take the ball off the floor. They can score from anywhere. And, you know, you got to go back a ways from the Shaqs and Hakeem, like the points in the paint guys.
Yes.
That's kind of an old thing where they keep showing these stats during the games that, look at all the points in the paint for Giannis. Like when Giannis is right, it's dunks, it's little spin moves in there where he's shooting over guys in the paint. And I was like, in today's NBA, where teams just live and die on the three, can your best player play that way and can you win it? Now, again, they're still down 2-1 in the series, but he's been really, like, for a guy who's as good as he is, he's actually been a little bit better than I thought.
Yeah, I wondered about him being a fourth quarter closer, and I think it's still sort of, that's open for interpretation. But isn't it, it's no different than like in the NFL where it's, oh my God, you got to go four wide receivers and throw the ball every down. Well, no, you don't have to. There are different ways to win. You have to be committed to doing it. Mm-hmm. And there are times where I think the Bucks sort of get into that mode where it's like, okay, what do we really want to be? Giannis is on the floor, but they're pushing him outside. So we're going to run plays to let our better shooter shoot, or are we going to let Giannis dribble out there and take a bunch of ill-advised three-pointers? So I do think some of it is the commitment that you make because, yes, you can, because there aren't that many bigs in the NBA who can deal with Giannis' skill set.
No,
so that's why, and that's why he's been so successful.
Yeah.
But he's got to do it in the fourth quarter of big-time games and show that if he needs to hit a three, with them up two, that he can make that kind
of
shot.
Or a free throw.
Well,
you know, which is not, although he hit some, hit a bunch in game three.
Well, I'm not going to go to that.
No,
level.
I know.
No, but.
But you know which player has not been great in the series after they were trying to, you know, puff their chest out and say the Kardashian curse isn't real? Devin Booker.
Not good.
Devin Booker has not been good in the series. Last game, 3 of 14 from the floor, 1 of 7 from 3. He had 10 points. He has struggled a bit. I know he had a ton of points in game 2, but even in game 1, which they won at, you know, in Phoenix, shot terribly from the floor. So that's a guy. And you know, he got smacked in the nose in the last round. But Giannis, I didn't think he was even going to play in this series with the knee injury. So all these guys are banged up to this degree. But the how Devin Booker responds tonight, I think, will be pretty important. Because Chris Paul can only do so much. You know, he needs Devin Booker to have a big
agreed
game.
And it's time for Booker to sort of have a moment here.
Yeah.
He hasn't been great, as you mentioned. Bucks, -4.5 at home tonight.
Interesting.
They are -200 on the money line. That means you are betting $200 to win $100. For those of you who are in the uninitiated and degeneration bets, over-under tonight, a robust 221. Bookmakers.
That seems high. I've liked the overall series. I think it might have even hit all series, but they've upped that number. It's 2 days off. Do you give that any kind of, like, a little bit more rest? Could there be more points? Could
that
help, maybe?
I think the first quarter they're going to come out like gangbusters. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I could totally see that. By the way, Chris Paul tonight, total points, assists, and rebounds, that number is at 34.5. And the betting is weighted to the over. So if you're going to go over 34.5, Chris Paul, total points, assists, and rebounds, you're laying 130 to win 100 on that.
He'll probably hit the over.
Yeah, you go under, it is even. And then let me see if I can. Here we go. Devin Booker. Let me see what they got here. Devin Booker, total points, assists, and rebounds, 37.5, but both are at -115 right now. So even betting. What's your vibe on that, Chime? I would lean over on Booker because I think he's due to have a big night.
I would also, but my favorite bet of the night might be Chris Paul to be the top point scorer.
Ooh.
Is +1,200.
Wow, that's good.
Just to lead all scorers.
Right.
I don't know, man.
He already did that in game one. Like, it's not out of the question, especially if Devin Booker stays cold.
But I also,
like, you throw $10 on that.
I think it'd be Giannis still, because I think part of Giannis wasn't the leading scorer in game one because he was coming off the injury. It was his first game back, and he still was relatively efficient. And then the last two games, he's just been pretty unstoppable.
Booker hard total to bet points. Against Giannis. Booker total points 27.5.
I'll take the under.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go under.
The under's -110. The over is -120.
Giannis, by the way, -150 to be tonight's top points.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet that, but I'm just saying that.
So if you think Phoenix is going to win, I think Chris Paul is just an easy $10-$20 bet if you want to.
So if Phoenix wins tonight, it'll be the gentleman's sweep. They will win tonight, then they will win on
winning five
when they
home.
Come back. But if Milwaukee wins, now you're talking about a 7-game series, right?
Like,
you
I would think
feel
so,
that
yeah.
way. Like, are they figured something out? If they go 2-2, home team has won every game at that point, then I think you're looking at a 7-game series.
You know, I used to say pizza money. Now I'm going to $10, and you got 8 days worth of ice cream or the 2 hot dogs and a frap for $7. It's a pretty good value
pretty
deal.
Pretty strong.
Shime has uncovered near his new house. Coming up, Rob Manfred on the state of baseball. What in the world is he doing? And Cassius Marsh, F off. That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.